Asia Wide Hits 24/7, this is Asian Pop Radio. Boy, do we like to use the term pop loosely on our program, because today we are speaking to Dominic and Brian of Vils in Singapore. How you going, guys?
What's up? What's up?
We're doing good, man.
There's a little bit of a pop component in there, isn't there?
I guess you can see so, yeah.
Somewhere in there.
We try to.
So firstly, can you tell us a little bit about when you guys got the group started, and how did you find each other?
It's kind of crazy because like we went through like a bunch of lineup changes, but funny enough, this current lineup, it's just filled with people that we've known for about like 10 years now. We basically went to school together, like secondary school together.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, it's weird that we found each other so late in life.
I actually messaged by MSN, which is the whole Facebook, about starting the group at like a few, like 5 years ago.
I love those stories of MSN. And one of my favorite, I have to say, I'll share this, totally make it about me, but my brother actually, you remember Napster, yeah?
Yeah.
So when my brother was about 17, he started chatting to a girl on Napster just by saying like, oh, I like the song that you've just uploaded. And then they ended up getting married. They've been together for like all up about 15 years now.
No way.
I know. And he's my little brother. He puts me to shame. They've been together forever, like high school sweethearts.
That's so cool, man.
I know, right? Tell us a little bit about your sound and your genre. Explain it to those that have not yet heard about you.
Okay, we're basically like Linkin Park on steroids, like with a little bit less rap, but like I don't know, like Korn on steroids or Limp Bizkit on steroids or something like that, something heavy.
Yeah. Just for those listening at home right now, there's a bit of drilling going on, but it does sound like a really angry dog.
Yeah, angry dog upstairs. You got for like the entire afternoon.
That's all right. It's a busy city. You can't stop progress.
You're right.
Guys, I'm actually really amazed that anyone can do what you guys do with your voice. How can one look after their voice and protect, you know, which is effectively their best asset when you're a vocalist? I mean, and I ask this because in my day job in a radio station, I'm you know, giving voice talent a lot of techniques about how to protect their voice. How do you do that when you use your voice the way you do?
I drink a lot of, there's this drink in Singapore called Honey Lemon.
Yeah.
So you just, yeah. And then you just down like two or three bottles of water a day. So I think that's like the best way to keep yourself hydrated. Don't shout so much, don't talk so much during tour. The most like but it's funny because in the band I talk the most. So
he's the worst.
So yeah.
But singers often, vocalists often go through like a really decent regime of how to protect their voice and warm ups before performing and recording. Do you guys have similar things that you need to do? Do you have to take it to the next level?
I don't really do much, to be honest, like, because I don't really, I just shout, like, the way I scream is to shout. I don't really use much technique in my screaming, I guess.
Well, it sounds like you've crafted it, though, let's be fair.
Yeah, at the same time, like, I don't really know how to, like, really describe it. So the most I do to protect it is I just don't talk the day before. I don't talk, I just try not to, like, use my voice that much.
Yeah.
So I don't, and then when, at recording, like before, like 30 minutes before, I would like warm up my voice. I'll watch some like Melissa Cross videos or something.
Right.
That's the funny thing. Like there's no real like training that you can do to like craft your screaming technique.
Yeah.
Or at least here in Singapore, there's no real person that you can find. But the thing that we find super helpful is this lady, Melissa Cross. She's based in like the States and she has a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff on like vocal warm ups, how to scream, so like not to like really mess up your throat. And I think that's been helping so far.
Fantastic. I might have to say, like, if you guys are performing it, you know, you've got a big gig coming up and you need to protect your voice, it must be a real bugger to be driving down the road and someone pulls out in front of you the day before and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
we just get to write more songs, so
that's it. So who are some of the groups that you have had a chance to perform alongside over the years, and which ones have been most impressive to perform with?
Holy crap. We've done shows with bands like Issues, Memphis May Fire. What else, man?
We did Chiodos.
We did Crystal Lake from Japan. We played with Void of Vision. We played with Ocean Grove.
We just played with North Lane like two or three months ago.
Oh shit! Yeah, Northlane was insane.
Right.
So it's like crazy things was like when we went to Japan. It sort of like opened us up to like a whole new level of like efficiency. Like especially playing the shows, like during the turnovers between bands, they were like clockwork, man. Like just machines. Like okay, set up drums, poop this that out. Like next, like everything so fast and like where it's supposed to be. And that sort of like gave us a nice training as to like we got to get our shit together and like.
Well,
I think when we went to Australia, it was the most eye-opening thing because everyone, like, they brought everything in their trailers. They don't give backline at all. Like, the places don't give, like, backline. Bands, like, from all over, like, Australia, they just come with their trailers and just unload their drums, their amps and everything. So when changeover comes about, like, it was just eye-opening for us because in Singapore, it's very different. Like, you get basic backline wherever you play.
So, yeah, you have to do everything for yourself here. Like, you can't expect any freebies. You've just got to have everything for yourself.
That's great. That's
super. And it's so, like, yeah, it just opened our eyes to, like, how music actually should be.
Yeah.
Like,
fantastic. So is it a fair assumption to think that your market is the local region, like Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, even Australia? Or have you been trying to push other markets as well for your music?
So far, we've done enough touring here in Southeast Asia. And we're really, really, really looking towards to expand, like, even do more of Australia. I don't think we've done enough. Like, we've been there, like, twice.
Right.
And I think, yeah, that's just the beginning, like. And even Australia in itself is such a huge market that we want to push into. And on top of that, of course, there's the usual like the States or the UK or Europe. But I think we want to focus on Australia first.
When you did come down here, where exactly did you perform? Was it Melbourne, Sydney?
We did like a 5-day tour. We started in Sydney, right?
No, we started in.
We landed in Sydney, but we drove.
We played
somewhere.
In Mildura.
Wow.
We did one in Mildura, we did one in Wollongong, we did one in
Adelaide.
We
played Melbourne, I think Geelong.
Yeah, we did Geelong.
Geelong was funny.
Yeah, and we did Perth as well. That's a separate trip though.
Were there any particular experiences that stood out for you? Like something that really kind of knocked you for six or?
Oh, dude, in Adelaide, they have like a strip club, man. Like they have this strip club strip, like it's just one whole street all full of strip clubs.
Right, yeah.
So that's because in Singapore, they don't have that.
Yeah, no, of course.
I mean, it's that and like the cold and like, you know, like 13-hour drives in a van and like that was challenging, but yeah, it was fun.
I would imagine that's a little bit different here, but I think every city here, especially Melbourne, Sydney, and by far even more probably the Gold Coast would, there'd be a little bit more on offer in that area for you guys if you wanted to go play there some stage.
We never really got the chance to go in though, like, but we saw and we were tempted.
Put it this way, Adelaide's supposed to be the city of churches, so just assume the worst for the rest of us.
Nice.
So was the release of your debut EP back in 2012 a bit of a game changer for you? What changed for you after that moment?
I think like when we dropped that record, we didn't really take ourselves too seriously actually. Like it really was just we thought about it, let's just write a couple of songs and drop it and see what happens. And the reception from there kind of made us realize, yo, there's like an actual possibility that we can do this like proper and, you know, like make this an actual career. So that was that thing that got the ball rolling. And then with writing the next record, there was immense pressure because like you always got to top yourself, you know, like be better the next time around or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that was a whole different ballgame, and that's why it took us like really long to like be happy with the songs we even put them out.
So, guys, support often comes from interesting and somewhat unexpected places. Have you ever received praise from an individual or an organization you were not expecting to? Just to throw something completely different into the mix.
Like in terms of like funny requests, we've always got weird ones from Indonesia. It's like people wanting like our actual t-shirts, and we're not talking about merch, like the shirts on our bodies. Like that's weird as hell. But I don't know. But I think unique interest from parties? Where do I do it? Like,
I think in Japan, I got like, we played on Valentine's Day in Japan, and then I got like chocolate from a girl.
Oh, nice.
I think that's the best.
I mean, like, but apart from that kind of stuff, like, we just never thought, like, what, just dropping a record, like, we got picked up by like Triple J and stuff, like,
yeah,
like all the different rock sound and things like that. It's just insane, because like, we're just a little band from Singapore, and just even to be thought of, or our music being heard on the other side of the world, it just blows us away.
Yeah,
I have to say, I a completely different vibe to, I'm sure, to what people would expect at one of your shows, but I actually went along to see G-Dragon in Melbourne on Saturday night, and he took off his hat at one point, and boy, I swear, there was nearly a riot. He threw it into the audience and the kids just jumped on it.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, I can understand the t-shirt thing.
Right, yeah, it's nuts.
And you know, whoever's going to bring that t-shirt home is not going to wash it.
That's the creepy part.
Well, you've talked about some of the places you've traveled to. Is there anyone else that you've visited that you haven't yet mentioned?
So we did Indonesia, yeah. Philippines, Malaysia, Australia, Japan, Taiwan. Where else, man? Is there anything else? I think that's about it.
Yeah. I'm always interested to ask people what it's like to perform in Japan, and I guess it depends on the music genre that you are presenting to people, but, you know, is it still that kind of vibe where, you know, the audiences are quite respectful and reserved until the end of the song and then they lose their shit, or is it, yeah, because, like, I hear that happens a lot, but I'm not sure if that's changing.
I think it's, yeah, I think you're right. Like, it really depends on what kind of genre you play.
Yeah.
Because, like, the crowd in Japan when we did it is just,
they went off.
it was very intimidating because they were insane.
Yeah.
We felt like during the song we had to give more than usual.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I reckon, like, for, like, I don't know, stuff like post hardcore and like metal and stuff, it's like the when you stop your song, that's where you take a break and that's where you take a breather. And that includes the crowd.
Yeah,
like,
true.
And moshing, and like, they get to
catch your breath.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you would consider your competition there in Singapore specifically?
Here in Singapore, our competition. There aren't really many bands playing this genre.
Yeah.
And we know a bunch, but like, they're just really like starting out right now, and we're more of like trying to
help a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we're in a great position to help anyone or whatever, but we give them advice as to what we know. We try and step up, because, like, there's no real, I don't think there is a direct competition right here.
Yeah.
We're just too small to even, like, fight each other. So we need to fight, like, we need to grow together and then take on the world.
Well, you know, I've been looking at some of your comments on YouTube, and it must lift your spirits to get so many amazing bits of feedback. Like, and, you know, there's always haters on YouTube. It's really hard to get some positive responses from people when you release a music video, I think. But looking down, you know, at most of your videos, it's just positivity. And you know, the young Singaporean kids are really proud of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually quite scary to actually, like, read through the comments sometimes, because, like, I when I read it, I'm just hoping for the worst. And then I find, like, someone saying, oh, is that, like, Glenn from The Walking Dead or something like that? Like, someone, like, The Walking Dead guy, the Asian guy. So,
somewhat of a backhanded compliment, I guess, when you know, someone writes, I can't believe these guys are from Singapore.
Yeah. It's like when we get feedback from, like, people that here in Singapore that look up to us or whatever, like, we get people coming up to us and saying, oh, I hope to share the stage with you one day. And I mean, we love that, and we are super thankful for it, but I think the true spirit that we want to inculcate upon, like, the rest of the scene, it's like, don't see us as, like, people to aspire to become or whatever. Like, we need to be just that starting point. So, like, like, excel and like, I don't know.
Just push yourself.
Yeah. Like, we're not the benchmark. We're just getting started. We're like nothing, like, compared to the world. So, I mean, like, chase us or, like, beat us or, like, just do better. Like, you know.
If anything, it should be better.
Yeah, we want to keep them hungry.
Yeah. It's a good way of looking at things, guys. Tell us a little bit about your title track from your latest single, The Cure. What's the meaning behind that one?
So The Cure was written for basically, like, I have a few friends in Singapore. Like, they've been through, like, drug addiction and, like, some sort of addiction, whether it's, like, smoking or, like, some vice.
Yeah.
And it's about like, how you can actually, like, the first step is to, like, recognize it and use, like, mentally go past it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it translates to something else. Yeah. So, yeah.
So deep.
Thank you.
Like, this entire record, The Cure, it, like, we touch on different themes. So, like, it's a cure from, say, a toxic relationship. or a cure from the, you know, like typical drug or alcohol like addiction, right? But like, and on top of that, like some stuff that we talk about, I don't know whether, I mean, people relate to like elsewhere, but here in Singapore, like being brought up in super, how do I put it, like traditional Asian families, right?
Yeah.
Is there's only one way to lead your life. It's like, do your studies, get a degree, become a doctor or like a, I don't know, accountant or like some shit like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's the cure from that kind of mindset, I guess. One track life, like that's not the way everybody wants to live.
For you guys specifically, the two of you, have you been through that particular situation with your folks where they haven't quite believed in the place you can make for yourself in the music industry and had to sort of battle that whole stereotypical, like you must do this job or that job?
Oh, yeah. For me, my parents, I'm actually studying now in Sydney.
All right.
So, yeah, and I'm back on like holiday. So like my parents, like they didn't really see it as a like playing music as a thing, like a money making thing. They see it as a hobby.
Yeah.
But like now when I started recording and playing for like 5 years, they see more clearly now that it's a viable path to take.
You see, if I was your parents, I would have taken it one step further and told you that you should have been studying in Melbourne and that you were wrong with Sydney as a choice. I have to throw it in there. You're speaking to a Melburnian. It's going to happen.
Yeah, no, so like the crazy part is like Dom, like he has to secretly come back to Singapore sometimes just to film like the videos or do recording, and his parents does like they don't know at all. And that's sort of like a part of the shindig. I mean,
yeah,
and that does, I mean, help inspire the songs and stuff. Like on my hand, it's like my dad's like a guitar teacher and like my mom's just a housewife. So like they're 100% supportive of like whatever I do. But for some, I think it's because of that and the stories that I hear from around me where they don't get these kind of opportunities to pursue what they want. That's why we write a lot about these kind of songs. Like our songs are, yeah.
Fantastic. Where would we be without Scoot, guys? I tell you what, we just wouldn't get to interact much, us Aussies and Singaporeans, would we? It would just cost too much.
Yeah.
So back to the song, The Cure. I believe it debuted at number one on the local iTunes rock chart. Is that right?
Yes, it did.
How's it feel?
I felt great, actually.
Yeah, it feels nice, but like we always don't know how to feel about these like chart stuff. Like it really is awesome, and like hearing that we charted in Indonesia, like just out of nowhere, and like I don't know how to feel. It feels great, but like
I think we charted in Australia as well, like for the album.
We're like I think 100 in
like one of the, like 166 out of 200.
Yeah, I mean it feels good, but like I think we're more pumped to like actually go to the place and like play shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you think the group's grown over the years, guys? Are you still the same team or I mean, obviously a few lineup changes, but for yourselves, maybe, do you feel you've grown in that time?
I think.
No.
I would like to think that we have. I think this band thing is getting a little bit more real the older we get. Time isn't really on our side anymore and we're really pushing as hard as we can. As like compared to like the kids that just wanted to write breakdown music and like just happy metal stuff, and now we're actually like we've got more serious things to talk about and like stronger ideas that we want to put out in our songs. So yeah, I think we've grown.
Yeah,
good stuff. What's the second or the later part of 2017 looking like for the group?
We're just looking out for shows, man. We might be doing something regional, just the Southeast Asia portion in 2017. We're still keeping our eyes open for an opportunity to play in Australia. So shout out if any bands want to take us on.
I hear that Edwin might actually be bringing you all down for a bit of a National Day celebration later on in the year. Is that right?
Yay, Edwin. Thanks, man. All expenses paid.
Guys, thanks so much for your time today. So can you recap, just give us a little bit of a friendly reminder of how our audience can find out more about your work and support you?
We just dropped a record called The Cure. If you guys are into like Linkin Park or Korn or Limp Bizkit, do check us out. You can get our stuff on iTunes. You can get our stuff on Spotify. You can get our stuff on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram or just Google Vils Band.
I forgot one very important final question. It's, you know, we're all on the edge of our seats wondering, will there be a return to Mildura anytime soon?
We hope so. We really hope so. Mildura was fun, man.
We had a wall of death in Mildura. Like, there were like girls in it and they were running the whole way. It was crazy. They were like moshing all the time.
Wow.